The reading this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 13 to 25. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, you were redeemed, but from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord lives on forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while we talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Now we're going to hand over to Jade Crouch, who's going to bring us our message for today.
Good morning and welcome. It is so lovely to be here with you in a different capacity, but still very exciting nonetheless. Today we are going to be talking about how to be holy. We've just heard the reading from 1 Peter and we're going to be delving into what it really says about living a holy life and living godly lives. So first of all, we as Christ followers should always be seeking to live Christ-like lives. And normally when we talk about that, we don't really talk about the reality of what it means to be Christ-like or to be holy because Christ was holy. Often we talk about the emotional experiences that we have. We talk about being compassionate and being kind and being loving and all of the emotions that shape our hearts, which is perfect because those are ones we should strive for as well. But what we can often forget is that alongside our hearts seeking Jesus, our hands and feet must seek him too. There is a unique seriousness about Christian faith, and I mean that in the nicest way possible. We are called to be joyful, hope-filled and loving, but we are also called to be disciplined and to be confident in God's given guidance on how to live our lives. We see Peter's call for us in verse 13. He says, "With minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you." Now, somebody that has a sober mind is someone who exercises self-control, who is disciplined, who can see and think clearly because they are distancing themselves from the distractions that come between them and God. In the very next breath, Peter supports that by saying, "Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." And what he means by this is that as Jesus followers and Christ followers now, we are no longer living in ignorance because we see the path and the choices before us. Whereas before Jesus, there might have been some leeway and some argument for not really knowing how to live right. But now we have this evidence and this example of Jesus as a person, as a divine and human person who lived a perfect life. We are faced with the options. We have choices. Because we know Jesus now, we also know for sure, with confidence, what is right and what is wrong. And I love that Peter is writing these words because Peter's entire life is pretty much an enormous learning curve on how to be a holy living person. Jesus rebuked Peter more than any other disciple. Peter actually rebuked Jesus as well in Mark 8 verse 32 when Jesus is talking about his death. Peter pulls him to the side and rebukes him. The boldness and maybe slight madness that must come with rebuking Jesus is obviously a mistake that one would not make. It was Peter who cut off the ear of the servant when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus. And Peter was the one who denied all knowledge of Jesus three times, even refusing to say Jesus' name, referring to him only as the man. And we see all of these mistakes and things that Peter did wrong, and yet we see Peter here proclaiming how to live a holy life, or encouraging us to do so rather. And he is able to do this, and he's in a position to do this because Peter was learning. We are all like Peter. We are all learning. At every stage of our lives, we are learning. We are learning to imitate God. We are learning to walk with God. We are learning what it means to be Christians and followers of Jesus. And I say that in every instance of life because we are never perfect. We will never be perfect. All we can do is try our best. There is only one perfect one, and that is Jesus. And the Lord's work is never done in us, so therefore our work is never done ourselves in seeking God's next move for us. So to be holy is to be constantly making choices. Not about making one choice in your life and then everything is done and perfect. Everything that follows once you make a one decision, "I'm going to live a holy life now," everything falls into place, because that is not how it works, unfortunately. But like Peter, we must not give up the pursuit of holy living, despite our mistakes. We do not learn without making mistakes first. Children, when they are learning to walk and learning to run, do so by falling in the first steps that they take. So Peter then goes on to encourage us with the why. Why should we be holy? Why should we try and be holy like the Holy One? It is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you are redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ. Peter is reminding us of God's sacrifice through Jesus Christ. And what does it mean? What does it mean to you when you hear about the crucifixion, about the death of Jesus? What does it mean to you when you're reminded of the fact that Jesus endured everything he endured for your sake? We've just finished hearing about it, the story of the crucifixion and thankfully the resurrection. But the sacrifice that Jesus made for you, if you see it and you hear of it and you believe that your sins are forgiven and Jesus loved you, loves you so intensely and immeasurably that he bore his cross and the torment of crucifixion for you, the natural response should be you want to follow his word. It should instill a fire and a passion in you to seek living a life like the one who laid his down for you. And God's call on our lives to be holy people comes from his love for us. God never wanted us to be consumed by the desires of the world. He never wanted for us to be distracted by things that would take us away from him and living our lives how he wants us to live our lives. He never wanted us to lose sight of him with our actions or with our words or with our deeds. And yet, that was the case with humanity. So God's love for us is so powerful that Jesus did not literally go to hell and back, but God didn't leave it there. He brought him back and he raised him to life again with instructions on how we should live and how we should mimic Jesus' life. Peter says in verse 21, "Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead, so your faith and your hope are in God." We can put our faith and our hope in God because we've seen the truth of the resurrection and the power that is in that. And it is because of that, because of the resurrection, and because of the love of God, that we are even able to live holy lives ourselves. We are given the option. Instead of condemnation, we have motivation for holy living. He then goes on in verse 22 to further encourage us. "Now we are purified by obeying the truth, having sincere love for each other, love one another deeply." Holy living is incomplete if it is not accompanied by love. We're called to love one another throughout the scriptures, and we are called to love one another sincerely. The deep love that is only possible through those who are born again in Jesus Christ and know the love of Jesus and can translate that love in their love for others. I come to my final point. The everlasting existence and endurance of God and his word can inspire us to be a holy people that live holy lives. Peter ends this particular part of scripture with one of my favourite verses, verse 24. "All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the fields. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever." In this particular part, Peter is quoting Isaiah 40 verse 8, and it's true because God's word has endured. We can be encouraged by the fact that God's word has endured years of transcription, translation, persecution, critic, disbelief, doubt and skepticism. And yet here we are. Here it stands. The word of the Lord has endured against all of these things. So when we look at our efforts to live a holy life, to try and imitate Jesus and be good and be disciplined, we're trying to navigate all of those things in our own lives, our own doubt, our own persecution. And when we're faced with those things, we can lean on the scripture here, we can lean on the word of God. And Peter encourages us to remember that all things will eventually fade. All of the distractions from godly living that we face, the mess and the hurt in the world will wither away. And the word of the Lord is everlasting. Now this should bring us hope when we feel guilt or shame because we've fallen short of the holy living God calls us to have. When we just can't seem to live up to the instruction for the self-control we are supposed to have in our lives or the spiritual discipline we are supposed to have in our lives, praying, reading the Bible, whatever it is that you feel that you are falling short from, we can be encouraged by the fact that when we falter and we fall, we are presented with endless opportunities to get back up and try again. And there are no excuses for not trying again. Peter kept trying. He was persistent in his pursuit of Jesus. We must not give up on the call for our lives, because Jesus didn't give up on us when he held his cross. God did not give up on us when he saw how broken the world was. And so I urge you, brothers and sisters, to see the example through the life of Jesus. See the good things he did and the ways that he lived his life. The discipline in him when he sat for hours praying and spending time with God to seek the next step of what to do in his life. See that example and follow it with compassion and with discipline and with hope, so that you may live holy lives walking the path of the Lord, whose word endures forever. Amen.